I'm hoping to start out, you can kind of talk about just the kind of the highs and lows of the season and how you've been feeling throughout.
Yeah, so I'd say this season got off to a rather slow start for me in December. I think my biggest struggle was standing shooting. I wasn't hitting very many targets. And it's turned around a little bit in January, and that's been a lot of fun. I think we had some really high points the last couple weeks. In Ruppolding, Claire and I both had an awesome pursuit, and then Claire just had her best 20-stage race ever where she hit all 20 targets. So, well, I guess it wasn't her best because she had a podium last year, but like it was the best, only time she's ever hit all 20 targets. So we're excited as a team.
That's awesome. And when Claire was talking with Jason last week after that race, she was kind of talking about how in biathlon results don't always reflect kind of how the performance actually went. Kind of near misses and all that kind of stuff. Does this resonate with you for some of your early season races?
Oh yeah. I mean, for sure. I feel like I had really good shape. I had really good focus. You know, when you stand on the start line, you have a race plan in your head. And after the race, you, rather than just look at the results sheet, you ask yourself, did I do what I set out to do? How good was I about keeping my focus on what I was planning on doing? And a lot of those races in December, I felt like I was doing a great job of that. I was very disciplined about how I approached the race. And it was a little frustrating to not have the results coming along. But I don't know. I've been doing this for a long time, and I think it's really important to be patient and just keep believing in yourself, even when you go through these funks sometimes.
Yeah, and do you think that's an interesting perspective? We're kind of talking a lot about sort of performance focus at Faster Skier right now, as far as like how we cover junior races and just in a more broad sense, like this sort of results focus versus more of an athlete focus in how we're reporting, but also just, you know, showing support for developing athletes or current athletes. Do you think, given that nature of biathlon, that it's easier in some ways to be able to kind of think about like, okay, how was my effort? How did I execute my plan? How did I take care of my nutrition on the day or my kind of just, yeah, preparation, mental preparation, that kind of thing. Do you think it's easier in biathlon because there's more sort of variables that might be out of your control?
Yeah, there are a lot of variables that are outside your control. Even something as simple as the wind picking up a little bit when you come into shoot can cause you to miss 2-3 targets and suddenly be 50 places further back on the results sheet than you would have been otherwise. I think in order to become a good biathlete, you have to have resilience. I think that's a very important characteristic. And what I mean by that is you have these ups and downs in results. It's a bit of an emotional roller coaster to do the sport, but you absolutely have to be able to step back. If you want to be successful, you have to be able to step back and say, I'm going to stay focused on this process and I'm not going to overanalyze things. Because I think athletes who do overanalyze things too much don't last very long in the sport. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt when you have a bad day, you know, but it does lend itself to people who can well downs.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about your recent races. You've skied some really strong relay legs and you had a 10th in the pursuit, and I think in Polyuka, you were the top American in the sprint. Can you talk a little bit about those performances as far as in terms of all these variables that have to kind of come together to really have a good result on the results page versus a, you know, a strong effort? Can you talk a little bit about how those days went for you and what might have come together?
Yeah, so I think I tend to race well when I'm happy and when I'm having fun. And for me, the most enjoyable race formats are head-to-head races. So the head-to-head races in biathlon are the relays, especially if I'm one of the first early legs. They're the mass starts, they're the pursuits. I can go into this mode where I leave the start line and I see a couple of people just seconds ahead of me and I don't even think about what I'm doing. I just chase them down. It's instinctual. And I savor that sort of feeling. It's fun. It's I don't know, it's very alive in a lot of senses. And so those are most of the races that I've been doing particularly well in. And then once I start having a few results, the confidence is higher, and then I do better in the other races, such as the sprints and individuals. But yeah, I don't know. I was just having a lot of fun with those, especially like the pursuit and Rupp Wolding and the mass start and Oberhof and the relays. Relays are so much fun. And relays are extra fun too, because it's a team thing and it's something that we as a group really enjoy doing. And the women's team relays have been phenomenal this year. We've had a bunch of top tens and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Can you talk a little bit about, as far as when we're watching these cross-country races, it's super variable as far as the size of the crowd. Like sometimes it's like totally empty stands and just kind of depending on the city or the venue. And in biathlon, yeah. You just have just, it seems like a totally different experience in terms of racing in front of the crowds.
It can be really electric. So there's venues such as Rupp Wolding, Oberhof, Novo Mesto, Le Grand Bornau in France, where we'll get 15 to 30,000 people there watching the race live. And when you're skiing around the course, it's, you can't get away from the noise. In France, I was skiing right next to one of the French athletes for a loop, and it was just like this wall of roaring sound, and it's almost sensory overload. and then you come into the range, and it's very difficult. You have to be, again, focused on the process, like we were talking about earlier during the shooting bouts, because the announcer might be talking about you, the announcer might be talking about the athlete next to you. If there's a crowd favorite coming in, the audience, the spectators behind the shooting points up in the bleachers, they'll get really dead quiet. And then the crowd favorite, this athlete, will shoot. And if they hit the target, everybody will go, yay, all together, you know, like 10,000 people all at once. And if they miss, everybody goes, oh, and then it's dead silent for another second. They take the next shot and it's the same thing. And it's just this crazy wave of noise. So it's a wild energy. It's electrifying. but yeah, we do have some venues that have less spectators too. I'd say Östersund, Sweden, for some reason, we don't usually get that many. Kontiolahti, Finland, we don't always have that many. Pokljuka is one of the smaller ones. We still had some people on the stands, but there's some variation. But I'd say there's some big major stops that are very consistent that have 20 to 30,000 people every year.
And you guys have a little break right now, right before Antholt. Is there anything in particular that you're going to focus on or that you're looking forward to during this break?
So the last couple of days have been recovery, which is great. I actually decided to not think about biathlon at all the last couple of days. And I went into Venice just to be a tourist, which was really fun. And then the next couple of days, I'm back up in the mountains and the Dolomites and doing some training. And we meet up for a training camp on Saturday. We'll be together as a team for about 7 or 10 days before we travel to Antholt. But yeah, I guess besides recovering, I think I want to dial in some more of the shooting stuff. I mentioned in December I was really struggling with my standing shooting. The thing that helped me turn it around over Christmas, I really worked on finding this internal feeling of stillness in the moment that the shot goes off. And that's improved my follow through and ability to hit targets. So I think I'm going to focus on finding some drills to,
and what kind
to continue
of drills,
working on that.
What kind of drills help you work on that?
So for example, one of my favorite ones is to, we do dry fire. I don't know if you know what dry fire is. Mm-hmm. It's shooting without bullets. We just have little dots on the wall and we can go through the whole pretend shooting process, all the motions, just without bullets. But I'll do some dry fire where I get on target and then I close my eyes. And I'm just trying to feel the recoil of the firing pin when I dry fire on my cheek or something very internal like that. And I'll do a whole stage, all 5 shots with my eyes closed, trying to feel that internal stillness. And then I'll open my eyes and I'll do a normal stage and shoot 5 shots. Dry fire. And then I'll go back to eyes closed. Then I'll go back to eyes open. Then I'll go back to eyes closed, eyes open. So it's dialing in that feeling. I've been chatting with my coach a little bit this last few weeks, and you know, he's really been encouraging me to work with this internal feeling thing, because he thinks that that's what my strength is.
Any other thoughts before we?
Yeah. So we're really excited. World Champs is coming up soon, and Antolz is one of those, another one of these venues that can have these big people, big crowds of spectators. It's beautiful. It's sunny. We've had some good results going into the break. So we're excited to see what we can do.